This morning I thought I'd share with you something of my week. It started last Saturday when I was doing some gardening. Now, those of you who know me know that I don't really like gardening. And my wife had pointed to some plant that had grown too big. What is it? A hibiscus. At least I can say hibiscus. And anyway, so I had a saw, a handsaw, and I was sawing away, and I was really impressed with my sawing abilities. Felt like I had a lightsaber, and I was hacking this thing to bits until I sawed into my thumb. And then I remembered, yeah, that's why I don't like gardening. It causes me pain. And then so that all went out the window, and I had to... Do you know how hard it is to dress your own thumb? It's pretty hard. Now, I've got a nursing background, so I knew what to do. But actually getting it done was tricky. Then I had to hold it up, and it was throbbing. And being the man that I am, I took Panadol, which made me feel like a real wimp. We don't like suffering, do we? The other day, our washing machine broke. Things wear out. It's a pain. And so we went up to Aspley. Have you ever gone to Officeworks at Aspley and then wanted to travel south? You've got to cut across four lanes of traffic, okay? So you feel like you're playing that game Frogger. Your life's flashing before your eyes. The person behind you is beeping at you impatiently. And when I had the one clear spot to get across the four lanes of traffic, there was one car, and I could have done it. I had time, except it was a police car, and I thought I better not cut across four lanes of traffic to get across. Look, life is... It's a pain. We experience suffering every day, don't we? And it's not physical. It's not just physical suffering. It's not just physical pain like a headache or a sore thumb. Sometimes we hurt on the inside, don't we? And there's nothing worse in a family if mum is sick, or worse than that, if mum is grumpy. Then the world is rotating on its wrong axis, and we're all diving for cover. Not saying anything about Michelle. That's not no problems there. So there's all kinds of suffering in our lives, isn't there? How do we make sense of suffering in our world, suffering in our lives, whether it's physical aches and pains or whether it's emotional suffering? And Paul gives us some really encouraging words. He gives us hope for our lives and hope for the world. Because the world, he uses this wonderful expression of the world groaning as though it's giving birth. It's in great pain. It's hemorrhaging. You know, I'll get it right this time. It was BP, wasn't it, Ian? BP that messed up that oil thing that's spewing out all the oil in the sea and the... Ah, it's terrible. You know, the world wasn't always like that. The world, when God made the world, every day he made a different part of the world, and at the end of that day, he said something about what he made. It was good, that's right. At the end of the day, he said, all the animals and all the trees and all the things that I've made, the stars and the heaven, it was all good. It's all good. So what happened? How did we get from it's all good to the experience that we now have, where not only does creation groan, but he says that we groan as well in verse 23. We ourselves groan within ourselves. And he says about creation, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs. And so we're all groaning. And so today, my message is really hope for groaners. If you're a groaner, if you're in suffering, then let me bring some encouragement and hope to you. How did we get to this position? Well, we got to this position where there's a situation where God had made everything good and it was all good. And yet our forefathers... humanity, mankind, decided that we knew best, that we wanted to experience good and evil for ourselves. We wanted to make our own choices. And so they disobeyed God right there in the beginning. even though God had said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And they ate of that tree, and they died. They didn't die physically straight away. Adam lived for like 900 years or something. They died to God. All of a sudden, what happened? God's walking in the garden, and they're hiding. They felt guilt. They felt fear. They blamed each other. The husband blamed the wife. That's a recurring theme, isn't it? They now were separated, not just from God, but from each other. Don't you experience the same thing in your lives, that you disappoint, that you hurt people and they hurt you? We lie and we steal and we say words that we regret and we can't take them back. That's all because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They brought death and suffering into the world. Before then, there was no death. And so now, who likes, hands up if you like lorikeets. I like lorikeets. They're beautiful things. When I go up to a lorikeet, do you know what it does? Flies away. Why? Because it's scared of me. But I'm not that big. Oh, I'd like to shoot that magpie with a shotgun, but never mind. I shouldn't say that in church, should I? That's different. On video, thank you. So if there's a dead magpie with shotgun pellets in it, I think I'm busted. The video's there. The animals are afraid of us because God had to make them afraid of us. We introduced death into this world, and even the animals struggle to survive. Even the animals experience suffering. And it's all because of us. And what I find ironic, what's ironic to me is that when I suffer, when I can't cross the four lanes in traffic, when I have to have an operation on my knee, it's tempting for me to get angry with God because I'm hurting. And isn't God there to make me not hurt? That's often what's in our heart when we suffer. And so I think that this passage helps us because it says, if you have a look at verse 24, actually, before we do that, in verse 18, Paul says, I consider that the suffering of this present age and this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So what Paul is saying is that, yes, we suffer now, but compared to God's plan for this world in your life, when we compare what's going to happen to us, those of us who believe in Jesus, it's like nothing. It's not worthy to be compared. How do I help you experience this? The best illustration I could come up with is if you're preparing to go on a holiday, if you've worked all year and you've got 4 weeks annual leave coming up and you're going on a trip, how do you feel? Woohoo! Yeah, absolutely. You're excited. You're going on holidays. And when things go wrong, okay, so when you've got to cross four lanes of traffic, it's not so much of a problem because you're going on holidays. And the hope that we have in Jesus is that when he returns, or when we go to be there with glory, in glory with him, we're on permanent holidays forever and ever. And the life that he has prepared for us, the redemption that he has for this world. If you have a look in verse 21, that God has subjected this world in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God has a plan for this world, and he has a plan for you. That's why we groan, if you have a look at verse 23, we eagerly are awaiting the adoption of the redemption of our bodies. So God has a plan for your body and your soul and the world. And he's going to redeem them so that they are without suffering. In Revelation, it tells us that God is going to wipe away every one of our tears personally. How amazing is that? And so let's, next time when we think this is really hurting me, whether that's emotionally or physically, let's use that to propel us to God rather than away from him. Let's let our suffering remind us of what we eagerly hope for, something which is, we know it's good, but it's unseen. It's not here yet. We have a glimmer of it, but we don't really know how good it's going to be until we're there. Let's use our suffering to persevere in the hope that we have in Jesus. It's a wonderful encouragement to us because our lives can be full of suffering and we do groan, and so we can hope in Jesus. One of the wonderful aspects of the hope that we have in Jesus is that I suppose we should think about it this way. When our forefathers and forefather mother rebelled against God, they should have died immediately. And so God, in his grace, restrains death. The life that you live is a gift from God to you. And I think that we need to see that as a gift and see that as a blessing. Even though our life is full of pain, it is a gift from God, and we give him thanks. Now we're going to look at verse 26. And one of the things that I struggle with sometimes when I get really upset or if I get really angry, which I do, you can just ask my kids or my wife, when I feel like life is just swamping me, here are some verses that I find really encouraging. In verse 26, it says that the Spirit helps in our weakness. Because sometimes I don't know what to pray. If I pray, I pray for things like, I want my thumb to stop throbbing. Okay, that's my prayer. But the Holy Spirit, he knows what I really need. He knows that the problem that I have is not the problem of my thumb only, but it's also the problem of my heart. Because what happens when I saw into my thumb is that, well, it hurts, but I can get angry with myself for being so stupid, for not being so careful. I could be short-tempered because now I have a throbbing thumb. And I'm a wounded animal, so just give me space. And so the Holy Spirit is going to pray for me in my weakness because I don't know always what to pray. And so it says there in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. He searches the heart and the mind, and he knows the will of God. And this thought I find is really surprising, that God himself prays for you. On your behalf. That's how much he cares for you. There's no other world religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam anymore. They're the main ones off the top of my head. All of the world religions, they all get you to work hard. You have to climb the good ladder to reach God. And you have to pray to your God to please him. Here we have our God, the Christian God, the Jesus God, he prays for you because you can't even know what to pray sometimes. And so the Holy Spirit will pray for the Rev when he soars into his thumb. He prays that I will be patient rather than grumpy that I will be reminded that I'm not actually in control of this world. He is. And that I need to remember that. And that he might use the cutting, the small cut on my thumb, he might use that to remind me that I'm frail and that I need him. And that this life is only temporary and it's the life to come which really counts. And so I think it's great that the Holy Spirit prays for us. He makes intercession for you. I think one of the things that we struggle with in our world of suffering is that we focus so much on our circumstances. If things are hard for us or bad for us, we want our circumstances to change. If we're having a hard time at work or at school, then we want a new boss, or we want the bullies to be transferred or expelled. But God wants something different. He wants us to learn to rely on him, that we might grow in our faith and trust in him, that we might grow in our character, in qualities like patience and kindness and self-control. God's agenda is that he knows he's redeeming the world. And I liken it to this. I used this in my life group the other night. It's a bit like a person cooking a cake in a kitchen. That's what this world's like to me. I don't make cakes, but I do cook. But let's use the cake illustration. If you come in, if I come into the kitchen and there's flour on the bench, and there's pots and pans everywhere, and there's sticky stuff in the bowls, I might think, what a messy cook. Terrible. Look at the mess that they've made. But before I should make a pronouncement and a judgment about the cook, maybe I should wait until I see what comes out of the oven. And maybe I should wait until the cook's had a chance to clean up, and the kitchen's clean, and the house is full of the smell of a beautiful cake straight out of the oven. Then I'll say, yeah, that's a good cook. That's a good chef. That was worth it. And I think that this world is a mess, but it's a work in progress. God is still working out his plan of redemption. He's not finished yet. And he's giving us, each and every one of us, an opportunity to prepare ourselves for the redemption that we have in Jesus, which lasts forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the hope we have in Jesus, that the suffering that we have now doesn't compare to the glory that you have prepared for us in Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we've got angry with you or angry at other people when we've hurt, whether physically or on the inside. Lord, bring peace to us, those of us who are suffering deeply. And sometimes the worst suffering is the suffering of the heart. And so, Lord, for those who are lonely, for those who live in dark places, Lord, we pray that you would shine your light, that your presence would flood them with your love and your peace. Lord, free us from the desires of our own heart, that we might fall in love with you and that we might love each other as our neighbour, forever and ever. Amen.